I would like to invite you to turn with me to today's epistle reading, which is James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. As always, you're welcome to follow along in your own Bible or device, or from a pew Bible in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read these words from James chapter 5. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elisha was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Apologies in advance. You're going to hear some of Jeremy Schulte's greatest hits today. Back from my glory days when I was a cross-country runner in high school. Now, I know your first thought. He doesn't look like a runner, and you would be right. But we had to participate in either one semester of a play or a sport. And the one that I could do best was run. Like Forrest Gump, I just said, I'll run. I did actually stick with it for 4 years, but cross-country was fun, and I think I can probably best sum up my cross-country time in high school. I was a very average runner at best. And so the same thing happened every year. We would start the school year in August. We would start training, and I would be woefully unprepared for a cross-country race. I would go to my first race, and it would be awful. I would be towards the back of the pack. I wouldn't feel so good afterwards and for the entire day. And so that's kind of how each year went. Now, I got better throughout the year. In fact, towards the end of each season, I was a strong middle-of-the-pack runner. At the end of each season, I could run with the middle of the pack. That was good because I kept getting a little better each week. I kept improving my time. Well, then the off-season would come. Do you know how much training I did in the off-season? Zero. We would get our summer running schedule to do on our own at home, and I looked at it, and there was the option of running and exercising, either getting up early, staying up late so it wouldn't be too hot, or there was the option of playing video games, or swimming, or going out with friends. And so naturally, I chose the latter. And then I would wonder why every August, when the first race rolled around, I did so badly. I started over, ultimately, every single year. Now, things went pretty well during the season. Once again, I enjoyed running with the team. We would train together. We might start out on a run together. And though there were several on the team better than me, we would start out together and run as a team. We would do team exercises, team relays. The day before a race, we would often play some kind of a team game together, like Ultimate Frisbee. We would even eat together and study together. It was very much, I think, a part of me getting better throughout the course of the year that I had a team to be there with and to encourage me, and I could encourage them, especially as I got to be a junior and senior for some of the younger runners that were coming along. In the summertime, we were asked to train on our own. In the summertime, we were given the schedule, and we were asked to run in our own neighborhood or go to a park or do some cross training like hiking or swimming or something like that. And I found that to be more difficult. It was more difficult to try to head out and do the running on my own. And for those of you that can do that, hey, more power to you. But I found it a little problematic. I had a tough time finding my own motivation to get out and run. There's benefits of running in a group, isn't there? There's benefits of doing anything in a group. You remember back in school when you were sometimes challenged to do a group exercise. You may also have been on a team, maybe not cross country, maybe you played some other sport, but doing something as a group has its benefits. I found this article from someone who started the suburban Chicago running group. And he said he used to be one of those people who savored running alone and didn't want to be dragged to an unfamiliar place. But once he started that group, he said, now it's like I can't run without a group. He said, just the camaraderie and experiencing what's going on with them. I learned how to run fast by being with a group. What it was is that I wanted to be with those people. And he talks about how much better his runs were and how much better he could exercise when he did so in the presence of a group, the presence of accountability, being there for others and others being there for him. He went on to say that when they would run together, he said, we fell into the same place, and before I knew it, the 10 miles were over. Knowing he had this daunting long run ahead of him, because he ran in a group, the time went by quickly. He said, we were talking about our kids and our marriages, and I thought, this is amazing. How could I ever run a long run alone again? And he goes on to say, you don't really notice the pain. If you start whining, someone's going to tell you to shut up. Pack running is helpful if you're a runner. Yes, once again, you may be disciplined enough to do those things on your own. You may be able to head out to the gym or exercise on your own, and once again, that is an awesome disciplinary action on your part. But we tend to be better motivated. We tend to head out and to do a better job as we run with others. And I love how sometimes these illustrations just drive the point home so well with what we're talking about today. We're continuing on in our summer worship series, I Am a Church Member, based on Tom Rainer's book about what it means to be a church member, to be in a community of faith. And today's subject is, I Will Lead Others to Become Healthy Church Members. We could probably twist that around also to say, others will lead me to become better church members. Because church membership is all about a pack mentality. In this church, we are running this race of faith together. Yes, you may individually choose to enter this place. You may choose to participate in the life of the church as you feel led, but we are doing church and we are being church together as a pack. This room is not a room of 100 individuals. This is a room of us. It's a room of one body working together and worshiping together. And like running, church membership is a marathon. It's more of a marathon than a sprint if we're talking about committing and digging in and doing what we can to serve in the body of Christ. There is an individual element to it. In fact, as Baptists, we of course believe that each one of us in this room, the Spirit relates to us on a personal level, and we can make choices on our own. But we can at the same time acknowledge that we will not stay in this race or survive this race, known as the Christian life, without this pack mentality of worshiping together, discipling together, and being a missional presence together. We may spin our wheels without healthy accountability. And you must remember also that even in this pack mentality where you receive the leadership and you receive the accountability and you receive the encouragement from other church members, you must also acknowledge that this church would not be able to function without your leading others. It's a two-way relationship, that being a church member. Leading others to become better members and being open to the membership as a whole as you seek personal growth. In James' letter, we read of what we call the prayer of faith. This passage itself is not primarily about church membership. It is about praying in faith and seeing God do great things, but it lays out different ways that we pray for one another as the body of Christ. It lays out how Christians can run together, can practice together, can be accountable to one another, and how we can lift one another up and seek blessing for each other. James talks about the prayer of sickness so that we can pray for people who are sick so we can see healing, to pray for one another, and not just healing of the body, healing of all kinds. We all enter this place, perhaps suffering in some way, from grief, from financial ruin, from broken relationships. I think we acknowledge as the human condition, as people who are sinful and who sin against one another, we need healing when we enter this place. And so we must be there for one another in prayer, but also as we extend a hand out, offering to serve each other. We are also to confess and to share in life's struggles together. I think that's something that the church has not done enough of. We like to keep our struggles to ourselves, don't we? Sometimes we even use that phrase, it's between me and God. I think the New Testament church might take issue with that phrasing, because we are here to share with one another our struggles, not so that we can judge each other, but so that we can be accountable, so that we can hold each other up in the way that iron sharpens iron. And then finally, James, in his concluding words, says that leading some way in the way of Christ is life-giving. In fact, he says that you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And so James is talking about the importance of steering one another in the right direction. And so church membership is not simply, as we have talked about week after week in this series, about coming to get something for yourself. It's not about entering this place and paying your dues and getting your way. Church is about building one another up, about you taking an active role in encouraging and praying for others, but also being open to others who are leading you, being open to those who may want to have a conversation with you about your struggles. Yes, there are times for privacy. No, I'm not going to let you know everything that goes on in my personal life. But we are here to share in each other's burdens and struggles as a church. This church thing is meant to be done together. We are truly meant to run in a pack, and it's a long-distance run. Otherwise, you're out on your own without accountability and community. It just further drives home the point that comes up every week. Church is not about you. As you enter this place and you think about what it means to be a church member, I'm guessing, like all of us at some point, we often think about and say to one another, what am I getting out of this church? How am I being fed? But when was the last time you ever took seriously the role you may be playing in someone else's faith development? Does that ever enter your heart or mind that your presence here, like James said, may be leading someone towards more abundance in life because God is working through you and God is speaking to that person through you? Did it ever occur to you that instead of coming here to find motivation or to come here to find self-help, that you may be here to encourage and to lift up someone else? When was the last time you saw someone's walk with Christ as part of your responsibility and didn't simply regard the church as a place for you to come and receive goods and services? It was a tremendous honor at the end of last summer to baptize Jamie Watkins and Alana Watkins. You remember that day fondly, as I do as well. And during that baptism, we had a responsive reading. I actually found it saved on the computer. We did the typical, Alana or Jamie, having heard God's gracious promises to you in Christ, do you desire to be baptized? They both said, I do. And do you by this baptism declare yourself to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, desiring to be obedient to him in all areas of life? They said, I do. And do you with this baptism promise to love Christ's church and to serve Christ through the church? They said, I do. And so they were an example at that point to all of us and a reminder to us that when we enter the baptismal waters, we are not simply here to receive our salvation, although we celebrate that. We are here to serve others as well. But that wasn't the end of the litany, because I also challenged the congregation of First Baptist Church. I said, brothers and sisters, this new Christian desires to enter into the fellowship of the church. Do you promise to love him or her and assist him or her to be Christ's faithful disciple? And together, First Baptist Church said, we do. We do. I'm guessing each of you, when you were baptized, and perhaps even if you were baptized in another tradition, maybe your family echoed similar words. You were asked about your commitment to the church and the commitment to one another and how you would serve each other. I'm guessing all of you have uttered similar words as Jamie and Alana uttered just a few months ago. The book of Hebrews says, "We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God." We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. This important passage in the book of Hebrews is a reminder of the faith we have in Jesus Christ and what Jesus does for us and how we are to echo that. But the author of Hebrews found it important enough to include in that opening clause that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, saying we don't do this Christian life alone. We are surrounded. And in the body of Christ, we see Jesus. And in our commitment to follow Christ, the body of Christ sees Jesus in us as well. I would challenge you today, as we think about the importance of leading others to be healthy church members and to listening to others as they seek to lead us in church membership, is to be renewed in your participation and the basic expectations we have as Christians in the life of the church. We're not getting into the technicalities of what that means, but as a church member, you are expected to worship with the body of Christ. You are expected to disciple with this congregation, or perhaps with a smaller group that is more intimate, where you can more easily share those struggles. You are expected and encouraged to take part in missional opportunities, and there are a lot of them. If you read your builder, there is something for you to take part in just about every week, to share Christ with our neighbors. And then finally, you are also asked to serve. If you are a leader in some area, if you have a particular gift, you are asked to serve in a particular area and to give of yourself, your time, your resources, your finances, your energies, all for the sake of building up the church so that we can take the gospel to this neighborhood and to the world. It's not only for your benefit. And I do pray that you will receive benefits by being a committed member of the church. But it is for you to strengthen others. One more story from when I was a cross-country runner. It was the state competition my freshman year. At that time, I was the sixth runner on the team. At that time in the state of Kentucky, the top five runners on your team were counted towards the final team score. And so as the sixth runner on the cross-country team, do you know how much that made a difference? It didn't. Every week when I was runner six or seven, my score wasn't counted. That's okay. The state competition came. We ran. I think our team took sixth that year. And I felt kind of worthless afterwards. I thought, you know, that wasn't my best time. I don't feel so good. What difference does it make? I'm a sixth place runner on this sixth place cross-country team. But somehow, as that sixth runner, I found a way to make a difference, because as they were tallying up the scores, our coach came to us all excited and said, "We were going to be seventh place, but we tied with another team." So they had to go to the sixth runner to determine who would finish first between those two teams. And so I was the talk of the town that day. That's the closest I will ever get to bragging about my high school athletic career. It was all downhill from there. But somehow, as the sixth runner, as someone who felt seemingly unimportant to the rest of the team, I ended up making a difference. Some of you may feel like you're the first runner on this team we call First Baptist Church. Some of you may feel like you're second or third. Some of you might feel like you're sixth or seventh. You might say, you know what, my score doesn't count. My participation here doesn't make a difference. But I can tell you that even if you're a sixth or seventh place runner, there's a time when you're going to be counted on to bring this team forward. There will be more than one time. You will be often called upon, though you may feel insignificant, to play a significant role in the life of this congregation. And so I want everyone to remember that. Your presence, your leadership is valuable to the whole team. Even if you don't feel like you're the most important person in the room, even if you don't make it up to this microphone very often, you play a significant role on this team we call the body of Christ that is First Baptist Church. Let's take that with us, each one of us. Not the staff, not just the deacons, each one of us in this room. Let's take that with us as we continue to grow in what we call a pack mentality of the church, knowing that it's not just a bunch of individuals seeking to get their own way or to do their own thing, but that it's us together, working as a team to build one another up in the name of Christ and to do greater things because we are unified in what we do as a church. Let's pray together.